The text we consider this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 14 to 20, and then picking up with verses 27 and 28. And he, that is Jesus, was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons." Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub.' And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out a demon with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But he said more than that, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1918, a fairly young man named Robert Ripley started a comic strip which he called Champs and Chumps, which detailed different athletic achievements and accomplishments. He began to branch out over time and went on adding things from outside the world of sports. So in 1919, he changed the name from that to Believe It or Not, which reached a much wider audience. In this new strip, he focused on the peculiar nature of people and events from the past and modern world. In essence, it was built upon this idea that truth is stranger than fiction. It was syndicated, and throughout the years, the comic itself branched out from its own medium into books, radio, and television programs. The abnormal nature of these things also prompted the establishment of several museums, which he called oddatoriums, several of which seemed to defy physics and the very conventions of what people would consider normal. A few of these auditoriums are designed in such a way as if they look like the building is being torn apart by something like an earthquake. But sure enough, they are structurally sound, and people visit them anyway. The text we just read moments ago goes well beyond the oddities that Robert Ripley and his Believe It or Not legacy could ever dream of achieving. The trivial nature of Ripley's content may be interesting and odd, but at the end of the day, it's just that. It's interesting and odd. But what Jesus did during his earthly ministry was truly miraculous. There were no parlor tricks or optical illusions. He truly cast out demons. He made the mute speak, and so on. At the beginning of our reading, the crowd as a whole marveled at these things that happened before them. But then, taking an unfortunately all too familiar turn for the worst, some in the crowd wanted Jesus to show them a sign from heaven, even though he had already just performed a miracle. Others accused him falsely of casting out a demon by an evil entity. In a position to, believe it or not, unfortunately, several of those hard-hearted folk went with not. And unlike the auditoriums that we just talked about, and they did not just bear this name, but the houses that Jesus talked about actually fall when divided against themselves. But the word of God is like a well-built house, where no stone is out of place, and the cornerstone is the sturdiest of all material, namely, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this brings us back to the beginning of our text, and the accusation that was hurled against them. They said that Jesus cast out a demon by the power of another demon, namely Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. And before Jesus addresses this, others in the crowd chime in with this desire to see a sign from heaven, again, despite having just seen one. Already, the seeds of dissension were among several in that multitude of people. They were divided by the deed they saw Jesus perform, and they wanted to test him. But the text said that Jesus knew what was in their hearts, much like Simeon mentioned in the second chapter of Luke's Gospel. And so, seeing and knowing their thoughts and hearts, Jesus finally addresses the crowd. Now imagine if those museums that were mentioned earlier were indeed split in half. They would not be structurally sound and could fall at any moment. Authorities would do everything they could that was within their power and might to make sure that people stayed out of them. Those buildings would all be condemned. Jesus talks about divided kingdoms and houses being in a similar state. How could he cast out demons by a demon? Ask yourself such questions. Can you quench a fire with more fire? Or can you melt ice with more ice? It's not possible. The devil, already at a loss and seeking to further his kingdom of damnation, would not so willingly give up what ground he has to gain absolutely nothing. Jesus then asked them who it is that they cast out demons by. For they too exercised demons, but nobody came up to them and accused them falsely of casting out demons by another demon. So Jesus said, therefore, they will be your judges. Like those in that crowd, it's tempting to ask God for proof for one thing or another. And when we cannot find that proof that we consider satisfactory, it's tempting to budge just a little bit so that we can meet those outside of the church who believe in things that are contrary to the Word of God. Such a budging is not constructive. It's as if to take a brick from someone else's house to appease another. And each brick that you take compromises the integrity of the building. Such a budging is a destructive act. It's not an optical illusion or a parlor trick. It's a damaging blow. Instead of taking a few bricks of an already built house to construct a pitiful shelter, it's better to seek shelter in an already built house. See, God's house is not divided. Kingdoms cannot conquer it. It is not a condemned building. And why is that? Because it is built upon Jesus. He cast out demons by the finger of God, something even Pharaoh's magicians realized was well above their pay grade. This man named Jesus was, without a doubt, more than they wanted to admit he was. The people that criticized him were carrying out the will of Satan by their denial of God's works. While there are gray areas that we acknowledge in this lifetime, there is no middle ground between God Almighty and the evil one. Having told the collective crowd these things, one woman yells out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." And while this is decidedly better than the previous things that the crowd brought up, this woman still seems to miss the point. In the face of many signs, she seems to miss their message. It's almost as if this woman is one of the very first Catholics who's instead focusing on the mother of Christ than on Christ himself. But Mary, despite playing a pivotal role in his life, did not make Jesus who he is. And so Jesus does not condemn or chastise this woman in the text, but instead counters her statement. More than that, he says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Jesus here blesses those in that sturdy house of God's word who believe in him and put on the armor of God. Unlike those in the crowd, when in a position to believe it or not, they go with believe. They do not chastise God and claim to know better. They don't ask for signs or falsely accuse him. They just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that solid foundation of God's word. So one must finally ask themselves, why is it that Christ is such a good and solid foundation? The answer is simple enough. You see, we're like those in the crowd. We're like the strong man. Our allegiances sway back and forth on things like emotion and appeals to our intellect. We are weak, but we claim to be strong. But Jesus is not like those in that crowd. He is the strongest one. His allegiance is to God. He is strong, but he became weak for us. In addition to signs that we don't need, we often fail to remember that the greatest miracle that Jesus performed was dying on the cross for the sins of us all. Do you need a sign? Look no further than Calvary, to that blood-soaked man on the cross who could have stepped off at any moment, but stayed up there for you and me. Look no further than the empty tomb, which showed his triumph over sin and death. And look no further than his word, which testifies to him and what it is that he has done for us. It is no optical illusion. It is no parlor trick. Jesus Christ, true God and true man, did all of this that you might be saved. God's word cannot be broken, divided, or conquered because it stands on that very firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen. We conclude this morning by singing the first verse of 381.